where he is really helping to bridge that generational from the elders to the young people. And with the adulthoods, they're very, very busy. But there are young people that are looking for the wisdom of the elders and the elders that are looking for the energy of the young people. We'll talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Diana Percy, and she is author of the forthcoming book, Becoming an Elder, Practicing the Wisdom Arts. And she leads a project in Melbourne, Australia, called The New Elders. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Diana Percy. She's from Melbourne, Australia, and she is leading a project she calls The New Elders. And Diana, we were talking about making a contribution and how we can make a contribution. And I mentioned the work of Matthew Fox and his co-authors of the book. His book is called Order of the Sacred Earth, an intergenerational vision of love in action. And that's a whole project that they're doing. And maybe I know that there are other projects that are coming up that where people can tap into a way as an elder to contribute. And so we're not alone in that. We don't have to forge a path all by ourselves, I think, that we can tap into different organizations and different ways of contributing. Do you see that?
Oh, there are so many things around. There are so many ways that we can contribute. I mean, it's very exciting at the moment, and also with the internet. I mean, it's so rich. There are so many ways we can find out about things as well. And there's lots going on. If you look, there's so much going on really in your own neighborhood or that you can access through the internet. And it can be surprisingly rewarding to do that, even on the internet.
Exactly. And I know that we've interviewed and sat down with different people who have said, when they've worked with someone who is very self-centered in what they're doing and they're working with their depression and anxiety, and they find that when they start volunteering and getting outside of themselves and helping others, that it's also changing their own even physiology in some ways. Yeah. They're getting endorphins. They're getting flooded with good hormones that make that improve their life, even their physical life.
Yeah. So that is a fabulous thing to do for everybody. Just to be getting out, to be giving, is so enriching and so rewarding. And it starts to help you recognize and hone in on what your gifts are.
That's the key, too, to know what you have to give, to know that you are of value, that your life experience, all that you've gone through, all the cycles, all the wounding and all the healings, and you have a lot of gifts.
Absolutely. We have lived a lot of life. By the time you get to 60, 70, 80 years old, there's a lot of life that's been lived. There's a lot of experiences that have been through, a lot of loss, a lot of grieving, a lot of healing, as you say. Everything has been experienced. So you know human beings pretty well, and you can start to know yourself pretty well as well. And
So that's valuable. Yeah. That's a valuable contribution.
Yeah, so the contribution doesn't have to be grandiose or on the world stage. It can be helping the neighbours. And in fact, there's been some lovely stories of people that I know that have For instance, a farmer who retired, who didn't know what to do with himself for a long time, because farmers work 7 days a week, all year, all day, and suddenly they sold their farm and he had nothing really very much to do with himself. And he was at a loss. But being on a farm, you learn how to be, how to mend machines, how to mend fences, how to be a sparky, an electrician. You can do so many things. So what he did, though, was a neighbour, a young couple, needed some help really badly down the road. And so he went and helped them, and he helped them build a shed that they really needed. And then somebody else needed a hand, and so he went over there and helped them with that. And then he helped someone else fix an old tractor that they had. And then he helped somebody else, you know, do something else. And he has had, this actually turned into his new career. So he is going around helping all his neighbours. He has never been happier. He works his own hours. So there are lots and lots of stories about volunteering. You can volunteer in many different ways, and not only with an organisation.
Right.
But there are many different ways. It's about discovering your gift, doing what you love, with the people that you like, in the way that you want to do it, working in the way that you want to do it. And it might just be looking after the children.
Right.
It can be anything.
That's a big contribution.
And it might be, you know, feeling that there's a new idea that you want to give a lecture on, and going out and doing that. Could be many, many different things.
So I'm thinking about the idea. There's an idea of being alone and being in loneliness, that you distinguish between the two of those.
Yeah.
Can you say something about that?
Yes. Being alone can be very rewarding. It can be a rejuvenating sort of state to be
in.
So
we don't have to always be out there actively interacting with other people, but there's a time for quietude.
Yes, and for reflection. And for many people, that's necessary. It's an important part of their life, for contemplation and for, the quiet time, for meditation, contemplation, for sorting through things. And then loneliness is something else, because there's a longing in loneliness. There's a pining. There's a grieving. There's a dissatisfaction in loneliness. There can even be a fear in loneliness. I saw something recently that David White said, which was, loneliness is interesting because it points the way to what we need in our life. Okay. It shows us what we need.
So it's a symptom, like you can use it as a symptom, like, oh, I'm feeling lonely. So now,
what do I need to do about this?
What is this telling me? Yes. So then, that means really we need to be in high noticing about what we're feeling, and not just sort of accept them and say, oh, well, I'm feeling lonely, and just go spiral into depression.
Oh, I think that's right. I think that's important, really important, for looking after ourselves, to notice what we're feeling, and to be able to take responsibility for that, to be able to respond to what we're feeling and do something with that. Because there's nobody to look after us anymore. When we get to this age, we've got to do it for ourselves. And it's not that hard. Really isn't that hard. It's a matter of really understanding that we can do this.
So that's a difference as a child, between being a child and being an elder, that the difference as a child, like if a child says, oh, I'm bored, and then there's possibly a parent or caregiver who's saying, oh, giving suggestions and helping that child with what they're feeling.
Yes.
Whereas you're saying, here we are as an elder, there's not another We have to parent ourselves.
We do. There's Carl Jung talked about two archetypes that we're really quite interested in. We're very interested in when we get to around 50, 55. One is the eternal youth. Right, and you've already mentioned how we're living in a youth culture. We worship youth, and the other one is the wise elder, and that is the the esteemed wise elder that that we all know about, and these are contrasting archetypes, and they're found in all cultures of the world, and during all times. They go back through the ages as well. So the eternal youth is playful, experimental, lots of fresh energy. It's free-flowing and creative, idealistic and inspired. And the wise elder seems like it's the opposite. Very sound, stable, disciplined, influential, dignified and honourable. Kind of person. And we sort of have this notion that as we age, we need to be more like the wise elder. But in fact, we need to balance the two. We need to have both.
So we don't give up that childlike enthusiasm.
We can be 90 years old and still have the eternal youth within us because we need both. We need the eternal youth in order to have ideas and creativity and fun and be able to enjoy life. And we need the wise elder to be able to implement those ideas and to be able to put some structure into it and to be able to be discerning about what we do. So we need the balance of both. So it's not like they're opposites. It's like yin and yang. It's like they're polarities. And the thing about polarities is
there are two sides of a coin.
Yes. Polarities are on the same continuum. Uh-huh. The two sides of a coin are part of the same thing.
Yes. Maybe some of us know people who are modeling this. I know I have a dear friend who just celebrated her 90th birthday. And honestly, she has so much energy, and yet she is so wise when she speaks up and she speaks her mind. She has no qualm about just speaking her mind. But when she does, we all kind of listen because it has some wisdom. But what she carries with her always is a sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, we just are always laughing when we're with her. It's this exuberant, childlike energy of humor and playfulness that she also carries with her. And I think it's just, I'm just so grateful to have someone in my life who exemplifies and models what you're talking about, holding both of those at the same time.
Yes. Yes. So if we can aim for that, if we can do that, you know, then I think that health follows and a love of life follows from that and longevity follows from that, you know.
And of course, exactly, and we want to have a quality of life in longevity. It's not just living long, but living long and living well. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Diana Percy, and she leads a project called The New Elders, which centers on the positive development of elders. And even changing the negative community mindset about eldership. And if you want to go to her website, go to dipercy.com, Di standing short for Diana, dipercy.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with Diana Percy, and she is the author of the forthcoming book, Becoming an Elder, Practicing the Wisdom Arts. And we're talking about shifting from adulthood to actual elderhood, which is something different than just growing older. Diana, you speak about the never-ending pursuit of our inner work. It's a process rather than an arrival at a final destination. Can you speak about that, please?
Sure. We've just been talking a little bit about the two archetypes, one being the eternal youth and the other being the wise elder. So what often goes along with the notion of wanting eternal youth is the fountain of youth. And the fountain of youth is the idea, really, that some magical external power or event that is the fountain of youth can transform us. But really, the fountain of youth, the way I see it, is an inner resource. It doesn't exist in the external world, but it's an inner resource, and it's one that we all can develop and cultivate. And the way to do that is through our inner work, through our soul work. And that does require being alone. It requires reflection and time by ourselves to contemplate, time out, to do that distilling work and looking at what is most important and looking at what, you know, is going to give us meaning in our life.
Would you suggest some journaling with this?
Yes. Journaling is perfect. Journaling is perfect for this. So this is journaling that is an inquiry. It is investigative, really looking into things that arise for you that carry some weight, like it might be looking at your dreams, or it might be looking at an incident that happened, or it might be looking at your friendship with someone, or it might be looking at why you said something out of the blue to someone that you regret a bit. So journaling is an investigation and an exploration. It's not like diarizing something.
Right.
So it's that kind of journaling I'm talking about.
Right.
Really investigating something and going down into the roots and looking at associations and investigating yourself.
You also lead retreats in the forest and the oceans. And would that be helpful to do some sort of maybe guided retreats?
Guided retreats are perfect. Meditation, guided visualizations, all of those things are really helpful for inner work.
What are your retreats like?
The retreats that I run are little pilgrimages. And what I do is I normally have a theme that is connected to the place itself, as well as a theme that connects to inner work. So, for instance, if we go to a forest, the theme might be seeing beauty. And we might go to a rainforest, which is a very beautiful place. There are lots of ferns and greenery and lovely bird life. And the pilgrimage is done in silence. So it really is an opportunity to be alone within a group and not have to worry about social contact and so on, although you're with other people, to be able to focus on yourself within the surroundings of the forest. So if the theme is seeing beauty, you see beauty in the forest around you, but also you can start to notice beauty within yourself and beauty in those around you. And going to the ocean, likewise, is a different kind of theme.
So this is bringing a very rich nourishment to yourself.
Yeah.
So it's not just nourishing with food alone, that we need other kinds of nourishment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We need to nourish our soul.
And that would help us grow, continue to grow.
Yes, continue to honor our past, to develop our consciousness and grow, and be able to develop our gift to give back to others and to the community.
I know that you have spoken at the Science and Non-Duality conferences. I think you're just returning from one that was in Italy, and you may be participating in an upcoming one, maybe in 2020 in Santa Barbara. And so, what is your contribution there? Why is that attracting you as something that you'd like to contribute to?
I like the notion of integration. I like the notion that everything is connected, and
even though it's an invisible sort of connection, that we are all in this soup together, so to speak.
Yeah, human beings are. Connected invisibly through our consciousness, right throughout the entire globe. It's quite amazing when you think about it. And it doesn't stop there, because we're obviously connected to everything on the planet.
Some people have described that as like the metaphor of we're all part of this ocean. We may be a wave in the ocean, but we're never really separate from the ocean.
Hmm. I think about it as being able to find the underground river of humanity, and that finds its way to the great ocean.
So knowing that we're not alone, we really are never
alone. We're not
alone.
There's a metaphor I use, a visual I use in an overhead, which is of a beautiful image of a mushroom. Well, it's actually a toad school, the brightly coloured one with the red spots on it, and a beautiful lush green background. And the thing about the mushroom is, any fungi, is that it is the largest known plant on the planet, and its root system under the earth spans over 2 miles in diameter. It's enormous.
But invisible to the eye.
And it's invisible to the eye. That's right. And the analogy is that human beings have an even bigger invisible connection with each other and with the whole planet through our consciousness.
So how knowing this connection, starting to realize this, how is it helpful to us in our expression of bringing our gifts into the world as an elder?
I've had a motto since the 1990s, which has been personal mastery, collective wisdom. And the notion behind it, because I was at that stage, I was asking myself, you know, is all this inner work, is it really narcissistic, or is there something more to this? And I came up with the idea, no, I think it's important. I don't think it's narcissistic. I think it's more important than that. And the inner work, or the personal mastery side of it, is a step. It's one of the building blocks in collective wisdom for each of us. The more developed our own consciousness, the more that we can contribute to the collective, to collective wisdom, to the collective, to the community, full stop.
So what you're saying is that for us to develop personal mastery, to become more adept and more aware, we're actually helping the planet.
Yes.
It's actually making a difference on the planet, besides our outward gift that we're giving, that where we contribute and volunteering and all of that. Just working on ourselves also is contributing.
Yes.
So you would encourage us to develop that personal mastery.
Yes, yes, to develop our own consciousness. I think that that's part of our role as elders.
Well, this has just been a marvelous conversation, and there's a wonderful quote that you use that you might share with us. Please share this wonderful quote with us.
This is a quote from my book.
Yes.
And, it says, when we have lived enough life, experienced enough love and enough wounding, and repeated the pattern of loss and renewal enough times, we become skilled at healing, at learning. Always this starts with yourself first, through a deeply focused inner cycle of reflection and application. This cyclic practice builds the wisdom arts. It builds the elder.
Diana, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on New Dimensions.
Thank you, Justine. It has been such a pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it as well. I've been speaking with Diana Percy, and if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, dpercy.com. D is short for Diana, D-I-Percy, P-E-R-C-Y.com, dpercy.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3686.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. This program was recorded at Strawberry Hill Productions, a full-service podcast production studio in Novato, California. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore...
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.